Welcome to the second hour's reading of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
Ector County Library holding book sale. The Ector County Library will be hosting a book sale from 9:30 a.m. to 2:30 p.m., July 30th, in the library's basement. According to a press release, the Ector County Library has all kinds of titles, including fiction, nonfiction, Spanish, children's, and cookbooks. Here are some things to know. Fill a bag, the library will provide its patrons with one, with as many books as patrons can fit into it. Cash only, please. Up to 30 at a time will be permitted at the sale. Those that may be waiting can relax in the library's activity room down the hall, where there will be books to read and free coffee will be available. The Ector County Library was first established in 1938. It is free and open to the public, serves all ages, has an extensive collection of 200,000 print books, over 20,000 e-books, nearly 100 databases, and serves a population of more than 160,000 people locally and regionally. Odessa has its own quake. It turns out Odessa had its own earthquake Thursday morning, and it was likely that that quake folks felt downtown and not the 4.7 magnitude earthquake that struck in White's City, New Mexico. Mark Blunt, a spokesman with the Bureau of Economic Geology in Austin, said preliminary information indicates a 1.5 magnitude earthquake was recorded at 8:44 a.m. north of town. The epicenter was located east of Loop 338, going up north toward US 385. Quote, as far as felt earthquakes, this was a relatively small quake, end quote, Blunt said. According to a study released in June by the University of Texas at Austin, researchers studied 5,000 earthquakes that took place from 2017 to 2020 in West Texas and New Mexico and found that 68% of earthquakes above 1.5 magnitude were, quote, highly associated, end quote, with hydraulic fracturing or the disposal of produced formation water into either shallow or deep geological formations. The Eddy County, New Mexico quake was recorded by the United States Geological Survey at 8:36 a.m. A 3.0 tremor was recorded almost exactly an hour later in the same location, which is roughly 3 hours away from Odessa. Assistant City Manager Philip Urisha said he and his colleagues felt Odessa's quake at City Hall. Quote, it lasted longer than any other ones I've felt, end quote, Urisha said, noting he's often felt them in the Parks Bell Ranch area. Local news roundup. Odessa man sentenced to 25 years. An Odessa man was sentenced to 25 years in prison Wednesday after pleading guilty to murder in the April 2020 death of another man. According to online Ector County District Court records, Michael Brian Thomas Hosh admitted to shooting Logan Ray Hatfield to death on April 1, 2020. Under the terms of his plea agreement, prosecutors dismissed an unlawful possession of a firearms charge that was filed at the same time. Ector County Sheriff's Office deputies found Hatfield's body inside a vehicle in the 6,000 block of West Lemon Street in Pleasant Farms after receiving a suspicious vehicle call. Hosh was arrested in Cambridge, Minnesota, and extradited to Ector County several days later. Ector County District Attorney Dusty Gallivan said the case was drug-related, and Hosh shot at Hatfield's vehicle, believing he had intended to steal from him. One of the shots struck Hatfield in the head. Odessa woman arrested. An Odessa woman was arrested Tuesday after admitting she used methamphetamines 3 days before delivering her daughter. According to an Odessa Police Department report, Medical Center hospital staff contacted authorities on July 17th after a 6-pound newborn girl's urine tested positive for methamphetamines, and so did her mother's. Hospital staff informed officers the baby had to be placed into intensive care as she went through withdrawals. Aubrey Nelson admitted to CPS workers she ingested methamphetamines 3 days prior, the report stated. Nelson was arrested on suspicion of abandoning/endangering a child, imminent danger of death, bodily injury, or physical/mental impairment. As of Thursday, she remained in the Ector County Jail on a $3,000 surety bond. Midland man arrested on manslaughter charge. A 79-year-old Midland man was arrested on a manslaughter charge Tuesday in connection with a fatal crash that took the life of another Midland resident on July 7th. According to an Odessa Police Department report, an investigation into the death of Hortensia Almiris, 42, revealed Don Bassett was driving 83 miles per hour in a 60 miles per hour construction zone when he rear-ended Almiris on Highway 191. A witness and surveillance video showed Almiris was traveling at a lower speed than other vehicles on Highway 191 in her Mercedes, and her speed continued to drop. The witness thought she may have been trying to pull from the inside lane to the shoulder. The witness said, and the video corroborated, that Bassett passed the witness at a high rate of speed in his Chevrolet Avalanche and rear-ended Almiris. Data obtained from the Avalanche showed Bassett was traveling 83 miles per hour at the point of collision with no braking prior to the crash, according to the report. Almiris died at Medical Center Hospital an hour after the collision. Bassett was released from the Ector County Jail the day of his arrest after posting a $25,000 surety bond. Police arrest man on suspicion of aggravated robbery. A 25-year-old Odessa man was arrested Tuesday after the mother of his child identified him as the man who sent another man to the hospital with multiple facial fractures. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a 24-year-old man called 911 around 3 a.m. June 28th after being severely beaten and discovering his truck was missing from an apartment complex in the 3900 block of Tanglewood Lane. The man told officers he and a 22-year-old woman were asleep in the woman's apartment when they heard a loud banging at the door and the door being kicked in. He said two men entered the apartment and began beating his face. After the men dragged him out of bed, the man said one of them began strangling him while the other began kicking him in the face and ribs, the report said. During the altercation, the man said he heard one of the men tell the woman, quote, "I know you've been cheating on my brother," end quote. The man said he was eventually able to get away from the men, but when he went outside, he found his truck was missing. The man was taken to the hospital, where doctors discovered he had a broken nose, multiple other facial fractures, and a broken right wrist, according to the report. According to the report, the truck was found about 8 hours later in an alley behind the 1200 block of University Boulevard, with its windshield smashed in several places and the driver's side door frame and door badly damaged. The beaten man and the woman identified Albert Anthony Lanez as one of the men, and a warrant was issued for his arrest, and that of a 23-year-old man whose name was redacted from the report. Lanez was arrested Tuesday on suspicion of aggravated robbery. He was released from the Ector County Jail after posting a $75,000 surety bond. When asked why Lanez would have attacked the man, the woman said, quote, "It was probably because the alleged victim was at the house," end quote. Crashes kill two in recent days. Two people have lost their lives in recent days in crashes in the Permian Basin, including a 12-year-old girl from Arizona. According to the Texas Department of Public Safety, a 30-year-old woman from Avondale, Arizona, was driving a Chevrolet Uplander east on IH-20, 26 miles west of Pecos, around 7 a.m. Wednesday, when she veered off the roadway into the North Barrow Ditch and back onto the highway. She then lost control of the vehicle and went into the South Barrow Ditch and rolled. All of the restrained people in the vehicle, the driver, a 16-month-old girl, and a 3-month-old girl, were taken to hospitals in Lubbock and Pecos in stable condition. But a 12-year-old girl who wasn't wearing a seatbelt was pronounced dead at the scene, according to DPS. Almost exactly 24 hours earlier, Tristan Anderson, 26, of Big Spring, was killed in a two-vehicle crash on North Midway Road, 6 miles northeast of Big Spring. According to DPS, a preliminary investigation revealed Anderson was traveling south on Midway Road in a Toyota 4Runner when he, quote, "failed to give half of the roadway," end quote, and collided with the front of a Freightliner truck tractor with trailer that was traveling north on Midway. Anderson, who wasn't wearing a seatbelt, was pronounced dead at the scene, according to DPS. The 48-year-old driver of the Freightliner, a Florida resident, was treated at Scenic Mountain Medical Center and released. Payment deadline for fall classes extended. Odessa College announced that it is extending the tuition payment deadline to August 1st for students who have pre-registered for their fall classes. Students may pay by cash, check, money order, MasterCard, Visa, Discover, or American Express. If they cannot pay the total amount by the deadline, they can choose to set up a payment plan, which can include as little as $0 down and is drafted in 4 equal payments. Any students whose employers are paying their tuition also are encouraged to contact the student accounts office to set up a payment plan, a news release said. For additional information, contact the Odessa College Student Accounts Office in the Salisbury Campus Center. room 108, or call 432-335-6407. Tech SBDC Hosting Conference. The Northwest Texas Small Business Development Center at Texas Tech University will host a one-day in-person conference for businesses ready to grow their client base through social media and increase their knowledge of operating an online business. Quote, Sharpening Your Digital Edge, Business, Social Media, and Cyber Conference, end quote, will be held August 17th at 9 a.m. at the Willows Event Center, 6303 82nd Street in Lubbock. Quote, The world of marketing and commerce is changing rapidly, end quote. Carla Holland, Executive Director of the Northwest Texas SBDC, said in a news release. Quote, We want to create a conference to bring next-level training so area businesses can stay ahead of the curve without paying steep prices to do so, end quote. Speakers and presenters from around Texas and the U.S., including TikTok, will participate in the conference, bringing fresh ideas for the most significant impact on online and social media business strategy. The conference will provide attendees with new tactics, resources, and best practices in e-commerce, marketing, and online business protection. This conference is sponsored by Coronavirus Aid, Relief, and Economic Security Act and American Rescue Plan funds. Breakfast, lunch, and snacks will be provided. Registration is $65 per person with an available early registration rate of $45 ending July 31st. For more information or to purchase tickets, visit the conference website. Permian Playhouse to do SpongeBob musical. The town of Bikini Bottom is in danger, and it's up to a certain yellow sponge who lives in a pineapple under the sea to save the day, with some help from his friends. Starting next week, Permian Playhouse will take its audience to the deep blue sea for its summer production of the SpongeBob SquarePants musical. The musical, which is based on the beloved children's TV show that has aired on Nickelodeon since 1999, will take place from July 29th through August 7th. There will be six total shows, with the first one at 7:30 p.m. July 29th, followed by 7:30 p.m. July 30th, 2:30 p.m. July 31st, 7:30 p.m. August 5th, 7:30 p.m. August 6th, and 2:30 p.m. August 7th. The story of the musical surrounds the lovable, goofy goober, SpongeBob SquarePants, who dreams about being more than a, quote, simple sponge, end quote. Suddenly, all is not well as the citizens of the Bikini Bottom learn that a natural disaster will soon wipe the town from the ocean floor. SpongeBob, with the help of his best friend Patrick Starr and science-loving squirrel Sandy Cheeks, soon embark on a journey to try and save the town from its impending doom. The musical consists of 45 people, all ranging from kids to adults. Directing the show is Michaela Grenier. This will be her second show that she's directed at Permian Playhouse. Quote, I've grown up here and have directed a lot of plays, but we've just gotten started back up again since COVID hit, so this is play number two for me, end quote, Grenier said. The SpongeBob SquarePants musical originally made its world premiere in June 2016 and soon opened up on Broadway in December 2017 and has since received critical acclaim. The musical received 12 Tony Award nominations in 2018. Grenier said she wanted to direct the SpongeBob SquarePants musical at Permian Playhouse ever since she first saw production of the musical on tour at Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center a couple of years ago. Going in with no expectations, she said she was surprised by how good it was. Quote, We thought it was just going to be a silly little show, but we were blown away by how amazing the music was, how much fun the show was, and the message of it, and how much we can relate to it in the moment, end quote, Grenier said. Quote, It's been on my mind ever since then to do this show because I think it's an incredible show, and it kind of lined up perfectly. It was the summertime, and I knew people would be interested in it. So I took a chance and approached the board and asked if we could do this, and they said yes, end quote. Auditions for the musical were held back in May, and rehearsals began right after Memorial Day. Cast members and stage crews have been busy transforming the playhouse into an aquatic ambience. Quote, Some of the challenges are that it's such a huge show, end quote, Grenier said. Quote, There are hundreds of costume pieces. There are tons of different locations. There are a million different set pieces and props. Just the size of the show itself and how complicated some of the needs are and the magnitude of what's needed to make it all work is the biggest challenge, end quote. The workload may be big, but Grenier has been pleased with the way things have gone in rehearsals. Quote, It's been going really well, end quote, Grenier said. Quote, I have an amazing team that I'm working with that I couldn't do things without. I have an incredible cast of 45 people, ages 7 to however old, but it's been a lot of fun. The choreography has been so much. The set is really coming together. It's an amazing process, end quote. Wilson has been working alongside with musical director Rob Rogers and choreographer Courtney Branscom. Playing the role of SpongeBob SquarePants is Tobin Brannon. Quote, you know, it's kind of funny because when I got cast, everybody was like, you are SpongeBob, and I was thinking they were crazy, end quote, Brannon said. Quote, but then I got up on stage and started doing stuff. I understood what they were saying because SpongeBob is a very goofy character, and I tend to be very goofy. I'm the last one who has to be serious. I'm here for fun and entertainment. It goes well with my personality, end quote. Trying to maintain the voice for the entire show has been one of the challenges for Brannon. Quote, it's been a little stressful. I've never had to sustain a character voice for almost 2 hours, and it is proving to be quite challenging doing that, and on top of that, doing all the singing. It's a challenge, but it's a fun challenge, end quote. This will be the 5th show that Brannon has done and the 3rd musical he's been a part of. SpongeBob's best friend, Patrick Starr, who is a genial and slow-witted pink starfish, is played by Grenier's husband, Caleb Williams. Quote, it's super cool, end quote, Williams said. Quote, I've always loved the show growing up. I grew up doing theater, and so it's fun to be able to portray a character that so many people have come to love, especially his goofiness. He just gets to be his own special guy, end quote. Both Williams and Grenier have been in theater together. However, this show is the first one that Williams performed in while his wife directs. Quote, that's been interesting, end quote, Williams said. Quote, we've done shows together, that's how we met. But I've never been in this position before where I'm the actor and she's the director. It's been good to see her direction and take what she's saying and apply it. It makes it difficult at home because we go home and want to talk about how things went at rehearsal, good or bad. We're just trying to find that balance, but it's been fun to work with her and see how she's been working with this huge cast, end quote. For Williams, he's done about 20 to 25 different productions, coming through the Permian Playhouse's Kaleidoscope Company. Quote, since then, I've taken some time off, end quote, Williams said. Quote, I usually play in the orchestra pit, but my wife is the director, and I've been looking for a chance to get back on the stage and go through this process again. It was super fun to go through the audition process, end quote. Playing the role of Sandy Cheeks is another Permian Playhouse regular, Blake Rogers, who, like many others, grew up watching the show and has loved playing the role. Quote, this show has been so much fun, end quote, Rogers said. Quote, I've grown up with this show, so it's fun to bring this character on stage because she's so quirky and fun and different. She's kind of the odd one out of everyone, which I enjoy playing. The odd characters have more fun than everyone else, end quote. Roger's character may be the, quote, odd one, end quote, of the bunch, but she's arguably the smartest character on stage. When Sandy suggests that science can help them solve the problem, the townspeople ignore her for being a land mammal. Playing the role of Sandy has gone hand in hand for Rogers, who also works in the field of science, working as a family medicine purchasing coordinator at Texas Tech Health Sciences Center. Quote, I think it's funny because Sandy is the one that's pushing for science, and science is really the importance of it all, and my job has to do with science and the importance of health and the importance of taking care of yourself and the community, end quote, Rogers said. For her, the plot of the SpongeBob SquarePants musical feels prevalent. Quote, while some people may think, oh, it's just SpongeBob, the storyline is very moving and very telling, end quote, Roger said. Quote, I feel like with the current climate of society, it's super important and valid, and everyone needs to see it, end quote. Michaela says she's excited to share this show with the community. Quote, we're trying to come back in a big way with community theater and reach as many people as we can, end quote, Grenier said. Quote, we have members from all over the surrounding communities. We have cast members from Andrews, from Midland and Odessa, obviously. It's just a really big cast with lots of different people working together to make it all happen. And that's what the show is about and what community theater is all about, end quote. For more information about the show, go to tinyurl.com/4zc64c44. Mid-Des Anime returns to the Permian Basin. It's the premier anime convention in all of West Texas, and it's returning next week for another weekend-long event. From July 29th through 31st, this year's Mid-Des Anime will take place at the Marriott Hotel and Conference Center. bringing in thousands of anime lovers and numerous voice actors to Odessa. The event will feature a cosplay contest, live-action roleplay, Q&A sessions with celebrity anime voice actors as well, and shopping. Last year's Modest Anime was the inaugural event, and the success from last summer has led to a slightly bigger convention this year. Quote, it's going to be bigger, end quote, owner of Fandom Events and Odessa Anime, Josh Wilson, said. Quote, the cool thing about the Odessa Marriott is that the big meeting space is on the second floor. Last year it was on the first floor because I didn't know what the turnout would be, so this year everything is on the second floor. I definitely want to emphasize that to fans. We'll have signage all over the convention, end quote. As far as the schedule goes, everything will be about the same as last year, Wilson said. The doors will open at noon July 29th for VIPs and at 12:30 for general admission. On July 30th and 31st, doors will open at 10 a.m. for VIPs and 10:30 a.m. for general admission. Many well-known voice actors and actresses from various anime shows will be in attendance. Quote, we're bringing in some of the best A-list voice actors in the nation, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, people from some of the most current and vintage anime ever. We have everyone from My Hero Academia to Pokemon to Naruto and Demon Slayer. We have voice actors. These people have no business being in Odessa, but we are flying them in so that anime fans from the Permian Basin and West Texas can meet them, end quote. Among the voice actors that will be at the convention will be Sean Shiplock, a Los Angeles-based voice actor who mostly does video games and anime. Quote, he's been in JoJo's Bizarre Adventure and My Hero Academia, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, he's one of the main characters in the world's most popular mobile game called Genshin Impact. I think there are 60 million people playing that game at any time. He voices one of the main characters, end quote. Aaron Dismuke is another, who is well known for the role of Alphonse Elric in the show Full Metal Alchemist. Quote, he's a super cool guy, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, he got into voice acting pretty young. Anybody who's been watching anime knows what FMA is. He's the young brother who gets embodied in the suit of armor. That was his breakout role. He voices the main character. It's a fantastic role, end quote. Anime fans in attendance will get to see a rare appearance from Tom Gibbous, who Wilson mentioned does not make too many anime convention appearances. Gibbous is best known as the voice of Shikamaru Nara from Naruto. Quote, he doesn't do the convention circuit very much, so we're really fortunate to have him come out because he's super choosy about where he comes to, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, he doesn't need the fame, he's a fan favorite, end quote. Sarah Nadocheni, who has voiced Ash Ketchum in the English dub of Pokemon since 2006, will also be in attendance. Quote, when people think of Ash Ketchum and the character, that's Sarah, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, she's been in a lot of other stuff, too. She's voiced a lot of the stuff for Pokemon, end quote. Japanese rock star Kaja will be performing at the convention as well. Quote, that's one of the things I'm excited about, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, she's a music ambassador from Japan. She travels all over the country performing her own original music for after parties. Sometimes she'll bust a metal version of the Naruto theme song. The fans go crazy over that. She has a huge following, end quote. The convention will also include a Neko Squared Maid Cafe. Quote, it's the longest-running maid cafe in the nation, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, they're called Neko, which is Japanese for cat. There's a lot of cat references throughout. They're a nationally known maid cafe, and they also have no business being in Odessa. But they'll be at the hotel, and they'll be putting on wonderful shows and performances, end quote. A comedy and improv group called Take One Improv will also perform at the convention. Quote, they are Dallas-Fort Worth's biggest comedy group, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, they're so big, they also have a group in Oklahoma City, and they're coming back from last year. They put on hilarious skits. It's like Whose Line Is It Anyway? But it's anime, so it's geek, nerdy references. You might get a Pokemon reference or Fallout reference or X-Men. It's stuff the demographic can relate to, end quote. Last year's event brought in around 1,600 people in attendance. Quote, we intentionally put on smaller anime conventions, end quote, Wilson said. Quote, as comic cons and anime cons have exploded in the last 8 to 10 years, some of them have gotten enormous and you miss that connection when you're just standing in line. Like at some expos, you might be standing in line for hours just to meet someone. You miss out on everything else. You kind of waste your whole day and you don't make those connections like you do at a smaller event. That's kind of our focus. It's not going to 10,000 people at an anime convention in Odessa. We're not trying to do that, end quote. Selfless Lovers return to Odessa. Last year, the Selfless Lovers were one of the bands to perform at Odessa's Hot Summer Nights. This week, the band returns to the Permian Basin, but a lot has happened to the group's main singer, Nick Parr, since last July. The Selfless Lovers will take the stage at 7 p.m. Friday at Noel Heritage Plaza as this week's Hot Summer Nights act. It'll be the second time the band will perform in Odessa, but a month after last year's performance, it didn't look like Parr would be able to sing or perform on stage again. It was August 2021 when Parr woke up one morning in Austin and knew something was wrong. It wasn't long before Parr was taken into the hospital and realized he was suffering a stroke. Quote, "I woke up one morning with awful vertigo," end quote, Parr said. Quote, "I had to go to the hospital. I had no idea what was going on. Everything was spinning. I had to call an ambulance, and the neurologist said there was a blood clot in my brain," end quote. Specifically, Parr said he had a patent foramen ovale, or PFO. Quote, "It has to do with the hole in your heart, and that makes it more likely to get blood clots in your brain," end quote, Parr said. Parr said he was in the hospital for about a week while they repaired the hole in his heart as he underwent surgery. Quote, "They put a tiny device in my heart that allowed my blood to flow like it should," end quote, Parr said. The recovery took about a month. Quote, "Your brain and your eyes have to learn to process everything," end quote, Parr said. Quote, "Walking around, it feels like you're drunk because everything's slow and you'll turn and it takes everything a half second to catch up. It sucks. I felt like that for a month. As I got better, it slowly went away. But even now, if I lay down too fast or if I'm tired, I have to be careful. I don't know if I'll ever be able to ride a roller coaster again, but I'm at 99% now. A lot of it was walking around the hospital with my family and feeling like the hallway was moving," end quote. At the time of the stroke, Parr said he wasn't sure if he would ever get to be on stage singing or playing the piano or saxophone again. Since then, however, Parr has returned to the stage. He has been working on his new album, Promised Land. Quote, "Basically, when it happened, it was in doubt whether I would still be playing music anymore," end quote, Parr said. Quote, "I didn't know if I would still be able to play shows anymore, but I do, and a lot of the new album are songs that I wrote after the stroke happened. There's a lot of emotion there because it's about getting a second chance in life. There's a lot of emotion, but it's a fun album. I got a second chance," end quote. Parr says the band, the Selfless Lovers, quote, "aim to bring fun back to live music with a burn-the-stage-down, exuberant whirlwind of a live show and impactful, wide-reaching original songs," end quote. The group hails from Austin. Parr says that Odessa is one of his favorite places to perform, and it's due in part to Odessa Arts Executive Director Randy Hamm and Odessa Arts Office Manager Ramsey Richardson. Quote, "Odessa is one of the cooler concert series that I've played at in my time," end quote, Parr said. Quote, "I think that comes down to Ramsey and Randy Hamm are doing one of the best jobs of anyone in cultural-related affairs in the entire country," end quote. Parr compared the Hot Summer Night series more favorably over other gigs back in Austin. Quote, "Randy and Ramsey have done a great job attracting talent in Odessa," end quote, Parr said. Quote, "Not just my talent, a lot of it is because they will pick up the phone. They like music. They're really into the culture in that city. I really don't see a lot of that, even in Austin. I can't get a hold of a lot of people on the phone here in Austin. It's like that in bigger cities. Odessa's a cool town. It's a cool town that's been building a lot of culture. We're excited to come out," end quote. The band's original music draws on classic rock, soul, blues, and southern rock influences. Quote, "As a kid, I was a pianist," end quote, Parr said. Quote, "Then I became a singer and saxophonist over the years. We're a rock and roll band. I think what makes it stand out is that these are modern songs. These are relevant songs. I'm not just up there to imitate something. It's more like I grew up around listening to bands like the Rolling Stones or listening to Little Richard or Chuck Berry or other stuff. I listened to a lot of indie bands from the early 2000s. I listened to Arcade Fire or the Black Keys, all sorts of music. As a pianist and saxophonist, I approach that music in a certain way. It gives you kind of an old-school roots revival feel. It's a mix of old conventions and new wave of songwriting," end quote. In addition to Parr, the band members also include Daniel Warner on drums, Keegan Flynn on guitar, and Evan Durr on bass guitar. For more information on the group, visit tinyurl.com/2HBCYDJH. Vaccines are effective against new variants. Dear Dr. Roach, I would like to ask you a basic question about COVID-19 booster shots, since no health authority seems to answer it directly. Why should I get a booster if the boosters based on the original alpha version of the virus from more than 2 years ago. Even if the booster shot were based on the Delta variant, that variant passed through a long time ago. I had my two main Pfizer shots last summer while Delta was raging. But now that the virus has morphed into weaker variants, the booster shot does not seem relevant or necessary. People are back to doing things in large groups, and if you get the virus, most likely you'll get just mild, cold-like symptoms. So why get a booster shot now if it won't be effective against the current variants? Answer. You should consider a COVID-19 booster because it still provides protection against serious illness. People with at least three doses of the mRNA vaccine, Pfizer or Moderna, have more than 99% protection against disease serious enough to require hospitalization. People who have not been vaccinated at all are still dying of COVID, and among survivors, persistent COVID symptoms can be activity limiting. At the time of this writing, BA2 is the dominant subvariant of Omicron, but BA4 and BA5 are gaining ground. The vaccine manufacturers are working on Omicron-specific vaccines, as well as working on vaccines that are intended to be effective for all variants. Preliminary data on the Omicron-specific vaccines show there is incremental benefit. For now, we are left with what we have, and these are still effective. To your good health, Dr. Keith Roach.
Dear Abby, for Friday, July 22nd. Half century of friendship ends abruptly over new beau. Dear Abby, for 50 years, I had a close career and personal friend I'll call Ellen. She has been married a long time, but I know she and her husband have had some rocky patches. Ellen was with me through the tragic loss of my son and, 6 weeks later, my very ill husband. I couldn't have gotten through it without her. After being alone for 17 years, I met a man in the construction trade. He has his own business and is a fine, intelligent, kind, considerate man. He took care of his sick wife as I took care of my ill husband. He also lost a grandchild. He was married for 51 years. I was married for 28. We are 4 years apart in age and have a deep, abiding love and understanding for each other. Abby, immediately upon meeting him, Ellen rejected him and abruptly ended our friendship. She thought, because of my education, I should be with a lawyer or doctor. I recently married this wonderful man and let her know. No response. I was deeply hurt by her actions. It's been 6 years, and I have other good friends. My husband's six children are lovely to me. Yet I remain puzzled by what Ellen did. I was so close to her, her family, and her other friends. I'm not sure how she has explained my absence. Her home was a second home to me. We saw each other frequently. I regret I couldn't tell her family and friends this parting was not my choice. I may never understand this situation. Do you have any advice? Puzzled in Pennsylvania. Dear Puzzled, as much as we might wish the opposite, not all friendships last forever. If you have described Ellen accurately, this dear friend was an elitist who judges people by a far different scale than you do. She may also have been upset that after so many years of your depending on her, you were finally getting your emotional needs fulfilled elsewhere. I'm not a mind reader, and I've never met the woman, but please don't waste another minute looking backward. Enjoy the here and now and spend no more time dwelling on something you cannot change. Dear Abby, when I was leaving work last Friday, I caught two workers in a passionate kiss. The elevator doors were just about closed, but I waved my hand and they opened back up. I averted my eyes before they realized I was there and jumped apart. Because I was in shock, I made some nervous small talk and did not acknowledge the elephant in the elevator. My issue is they are both upper management and married to other people. I have no plans to out them, but I'm confused about how to interact with them going forward. I work with them on a daily basis, as well as attend company parties, which their spouses usually attend. Any advice would be appreciated, as my respect for them has plunged. Should have waited in the South. Dear should have. This is a minefield, so tread carefully and do not say a word about what you saw to anyone. Your respect for those two may have diminished, but it is vital for your own sake. that your behavior toward them remain the same as it has always been. It may take a large dose of amnesia on your part to accomplish this, but it is what I am recommending.
Thank you for joining us for the readings of the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.